Hey.
Hey.
Hi. Neat.
Is this awkward?
did I say something?
This is our first threesome in a long time, guys.
Sidon.
Sorry. You had to go there.
Well, I just want to say, I just want to acknowledge the elephant in the room. No, just kidding, Spence. You're smaller than that.
You're not really that.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I do enjoy menage a trois.
Well, let's just play some music.
Yeah, let's pound them out. That make the rackets for the game, and that's it. And I'm just amazed two companies can actually survive making rackets for that stuff.
The rackets used to play that song?
No. Hi, Mitch. Hi. Hello, McFly.
Hi. What?
We're talking about real tennis.
Yeah, well, how does the rest of the world know that? You guys are talking during the song.
Well, if you gave me a moment, I'd explain.
Okay.
See, this is what happens when you have a threesome.
But maybe the dialogue.
Confusion.
About us arguing about what you're talking about is our way of explaining it.
Okay. Well, then let me do that.
asshole.
Oh, just let me pull up Wikipedia. Hang on.
Ask me, ask Google. That's what I say. We were just talking about Real Tennis. But I had never heard of Real Tennis before. And
is that like Real Networks?
No. Far from it. Keep trying, Mitch.
Or they have like a really cool media player
sip your beer.
Puts ads all over your computer.
Or the Real Doll.
Yeah, it's tennis with your real doll. It's a bit of a one-sided game, but isn't it always? No, my wife's friend has, and I never say that. I wanted to say it, my wife. Anyway, she, family friend, plays real tennis, which is like the tennis from King Henry VIII's day, you know, like in a courtyard surrounded by walls and cobblestone and all that. And it's actually a sport. And there are six clubs in the world. Two of them, I think, are in England. And he was telling me, I was kind of drunk at the time, too. The others are on the East Coast of America, like around New York and upstate and everything. Of course, the only place you'd expect real tennis to be.
Darling, you want to play some real tennis?
Let's go upstate and play some real tennis.
Toot, toot, ding, dong.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, the rules are crazy. And big slack net and these cork and string-wound, leather-bound balls that apparently the local pros each make for the game. And then two companies that make the rackets, these old wooden rackets for it.
It'd be painful to get hit by that.
That's what I said at the party. I was like, man, that sounds like
getting
really
hit by a cricket ball.
Yeah, something like that. But he loves it because apparently each court is so different from the others that there's such nuance. Like, the person that knows the court best usually has a massive advantage.
Because, like, the third
cobblestone. Yeah, exactly. Because, like, the cobblestone
really pulls it.
And there's points. And there's points if you get the ball in the windows, on the walls, on the side. So there's, like, windows at certain locations. And if you hit the ball into the window, then you get extra points.
And tennis is already a pretty screwy scoring system. So I can imagine real tennis. I mean, is it 15, 30, 40? Or is it more like 17, 24?
Well, it's different. It's more like racquetball also, where it's about the two bounce thing. And it's about also the distance at which the second bounce happens from the back wall. So it's kind of...
Out of bounds, like lines on the.
There aren't really out of bounds, but what you're looking to do is get either in the window or get that second bounce at a certain distance from the back wall. So if it bounces twice really near the back wall, then you get more points than if it bounces on the second time further from the back wall. This is my drunken understanding from what he was explaining.
So
to
the
me,
idea is that they wanted to make a sport that was even more exclusive than the white ones.
Yeah,
exactly.
Tennis has been so refined into such like a hard hitting rally game. The funny thing is, like, this real tennis, it's like if you and me and Spence were like 6 years old, right? And we came into this living room right here and we had some Nerf balls and Nerf rackets. I swear to God,
well,
we make the same rules.
I've got Wii. You know, maybe we could maybe we could reprogram Wii tennis for real tennis.
This is a brilliant.
You know?
Wow.
If
that would be cool.
We'll try to get that done tonight.
Dude. Yeah. What would be amazing?
Just after the show.
That would be amazing if Nintendo opened things up like that and let everyone play with their accelerometers.
Right?
Oh, you can, no, you can.
I just said was
you can
dirty.
Hack the remotes. There's, if you go online and do Wii remote.
They're already hacking it?
Oh, yeah. You can
it's
get
not
you
Wii
can
Wii remote. It's a Wiimote.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
No, you can. Yeah, it's pretty easy to get at the stream of numbers that comes from the accelerometer over their thing.
Awesome.
We thought about using
like
it
a
for
level for when I'm like making, you know, building a new a shelf.
You could use that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
We could make make shareware it says use
a
your
Wii
as a level.
Level.
Your Wii level.
A wevel. A weevil.
Did you
hear wobble, that? But it won't fall down.
Did you hear that?
That was your idea hitting the ground.
We do. Yeah. Well, I'm well. I have well grounded ideas.
How dare you shit on this idea? I think that's a brilliant idea. Wait, save your trip to Home Depot.
Yeah. Just use a wee level.
Weevil.
A weevil.
A weevil.
Yeah. And what about the stud finder? Can they do that?
No. Okay. It's going off.
I want them to do like Wii, you know, razor so I can shave in the morning with my Wii.
Yeah, Wii umbrella.
I just, you know, yeah, just walking in a rainy street and you just, you know, you get
you know
get
what
wet.
Oh! You're sounding like one of those early nano books. There was some early nanotechnology book that was really worried that the nano fog was going to take over the world, because they assumed that we'd have this fog of nanobots that would follow you around, that could do whatever you wanted, and so you could just ask your nano fog to do whatever you wanted. So you'd be like outside, you'd be like nano fog umbrella.
Oh go, god, that's awesome.
And you would go nano fog haircut.
That sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, and it created all this backlash. You people couldn't get funding to do nano.
Could you get nano fog to do like your appointments and Outlook for you?
I would assume so. Yeah, but that's tough. I know. Like, an umbrella is way easier than Outlook. Appy.
You know that your nano fog would be used for the most base thing imaginable. Like, nano fog, tell my wife I love her. Or I don't know.
See, like, you're sweet. I'm a jerk.
But no, I actually would be a jerk if I was telling my nano fog to tell my wife. I don't know. Like, what? What
no. There'd be nano like, fog, maybe some pizza.
Yeah.
Nano fog, give me a beer.
Scratch my butt. Nano fog. All that technology for a little ass scratching.
You mean you don't ask your wife to scratch your butt?
Not yet. We haven't gotten to that stage
Harold.
Yet.
Harold!
And you guys got married. I don't know. Well, let's try another song.
We've kicked off here. Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
This is really...
We've kicked off.
I didn't think we were going to get this into this till at least after the third or fourth song.
Apologies.
But, you know. Hey, it's been a while since we've had
the
doctor in
the
house.
Out.
Yeah, sorry. The good doctor.
He tends to bring the level down.
Lowest common denominator wins. This is a song... Oh, we didn't have... Wait, I got to stop. What was the...
The first track. It's from my DJing days. That's Reminiscence Quartet with Jazz Thing. And Reminiscence Quartet is another synonym for Bob Sinclair, I think, actually, which is a little bit embarrassing because he's done some cheesy stuff. But I really like that one. That one's a really jazzy, kind of dancey
track. You used to spin the black circles, as Pearl Jam would say?
I did. I was Dr. Spence.
Cool.
Before I had a degree. But yeah. But I was played pretty cheesy stuff, but I'm still kind of proud of it. And so now we're moving on.
To what? This is a band called, or a DJ called Scanner.
I love it.
Yeah. Let's check it out. Apparently it's all done with a scanner. You guessed it.
Bye.
was all sugar. And then, yeah, there's this little construction dude that made shit out of sugar.
Holy crap, did anyone point this out ever in the world that like a multi-billion dollar industry is based on
the Fraggles? The Fraggles.
Talk about this.
Yeah, we have some good material.
That was a trippy little song. We brought it down a notch.
That was a much. Are we?
Yeah, whatever.
I like
yeah,
that one. Game.
That was a much longer wavelength than I was prepared for.
Yeah, I didn't think it was gonna. I thought it was gonna.
I think this like, last note he's holding proves it.
They said, you know, I thought it was gonna be like a DJ and kind of kick in, but it just never quite got me there. But
yeah.
It was such a trippy.
It was nice.
Like,
it was vibey.
Space.
I like it.
But I mean, the scanner, I thought, was a reference to using sometimes a lot of radio chatter from like truck
yeah,
drivers.
I was hoping definitely because you know that'd be dirty.
It's true, actually.
He uses it's a police scan and his cell phone. He actually uses that stuff in live performances. So he's like, he banks on the fact that there's just cool shit going on in the scanner to like
that's awesome.
To make as part of your color for your ambient.
That's
tone.
A brilliant found medium. I gotta say,
it's pretty cool.
You guys probably all had CB radio moments in your life.
This is it, man. This is
this
as close
is it for
to
you.
CB
this is
radio.
Really?
Yeah.
You never went to Radio Shack and bought one of the $30 CB radios.
No.
Wow, I had like two.
Can I borrow yours?
Like late at night with my
like,
buddies.
Can I borrow yours? Like 20 years ago.
Yeah. <Is that? laughs> when I have like friends for sleepover, we'd get on a CB radio. breaker.
See, I had a tape recorder. Did you have a tape recorder?
No, that was dull.
You never had a tape recorder?
Why do I want to listen to myself?
Did you play with the...
Are you making podcasts now?
Yeah.
Oh, you are.
But I'm more interesting now.
All we're doing is playing around on a tape recorder, Dan.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but there's nuance. There's no nuance to having a like cassette tape in your pocket.
That's so funny because I disagree because I used to like do these little stories, you know, where I'd be like, you know, make sounds like I was walking down the stairs and be like, this is Officer Jimbo James call, you know, you're under arrest. No, I'm not. What are you talking about? You know, like stupid stories. Yeah. Anyways,
dude, do we still have those?
Me, either of you.
Can we find those?
Fortunately, they got lost in the fire.
In some parallel world, your identical twin is like working, you know, pub theater. I'm pretty certain he was a damn decent pub theater actor.
Oh man, like puppets,
yeah,
like hand puppets,
or whatever.
I do remember realizing that you could record stuff with tape recorders, and then I was really excited about Ghostbusters at the time because the movie had just come out, and so I played the Ghostbusters soundtrack cassette tape, and then over the top of it singing Ghostbusters during the chorus.
I ain't afraid of no ghost.
That was so bad. That's another one. I hope that was burnt down.
Yeah. Man, I know there's some old VHS tapes in my parents' house that should probably go.
People talk about, you know, the problem with having skeletons in your closet, but it's not really an issue if your closet burns down.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Then you can talk about the cool skeletons instead of the lame skeletons.
Right.
You know,
because no one knows about this.
Because they burned down.
Yeah, shit. Yeah. What's the psychological term for that?
Lying. Lying?
Yeah, lying.
Anywho.
Tangent.
I hope none of that stuff gets unearthed for any of our respective weddings coming up in the next year. Which is kind of odd, isn't it?
All three of us are planning weddings.
It's the wham, wham, wham. Summer of weddings.
Weird. Yeah. Except for I have a kid. Dan's already married.
Yeah.
And Spence is just...
organizing.
Yeah.
Organizing like a madman.
What's your date, bro?
August 9th.
September 20th.
Oh, really? Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, likewise.
We don't have a date yet.
You haven't had a date for 2 years.
Someone can do it.
It's like, babe, it's got to get in my iCal or I'm never going to acknowledge it.
Well, I can't put it in your iCal.
Dan, did you book the adventure rabbi? Is that why I can't get her?
adventure rabbi?
Yeah.
What, you get married on Whitewater?
Wherever you Meryl want. Street.
That's cool.
She exists, actually. www.theadventurerabbi.com.
You've been doing some research.
Yeah.
No, wait, are you Jewish?
No. Rebecca is, but we're not going to have a religious wedding. But I went to a wedding that was officiated.
You were rock climbing?
No, just on a mountain. But yeah. She was wearing Oakley's and a Teva. and Tevas.
And that's an adventure right there. Does Oakley's and a Teva make an adventure?
And rabbinical robes.
Just one or two Tevas.
Or a camelback. You can trade any one of those.
Either one. As long as it's one of the holy trinity of adventure items.
The name of the Oakley, the Teva, and the camelback. I pronounce you
at this adventure wedding, man and wife. You may belay the bride.
Oh, that's funny. Jesus. squeaky
nothing,
rolls.
Nothing, man. You're right. I mean, steep hills are tough.
It's steep.
Yeah, make me breathe all hard and shit. I don't like it.
I can feel it in like my calves.
Yeah.
And my quads.
Where else do you feel it?
Oh, jeez.
Some people feel it in different places.
Dan, do you want to talk about SolidWorks?
Do you ride your bike here?
Mitch is. Anywho, <Yeah. laughs> lesson learned. Don't get personal with Mitch. He gets snappy.
I don't get snappy.
What? You started happy. It, Dan.
You're right. Now you're teaming up on me, are you, Spence? God, no. I see where this threesome's going.
Negative.
And we're all just trying to keep things fair here. And Dan, you were beating up on me. I'm sorry.
Okay, I apologize, Mitch.
Isn't that weird, though, actually, that dynamics do change when there's three people in a room? Like, suddenly politics is an issue because whatever you're saying is to somebody else in front of somebody else.
So there's a democracy issue, a democratic issue of the majority when there's a three.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's two, everyone can always agree all the time because that's just good.
That's a positive way of looking at it. Or that when it's two, one person can always dominate.
Which sometimes happens.
Yeah. But I remember the first time I learned like how different friends of mine acted when it was like three of us versus when it was two of us. And I was like, but we were best friends. And then now that Chris is here, it's like you're not my best friend anymore. We're just friends.
There's a pecking order.
Yeah.
I remember my mom.
And then I dominated both of them.
Where'd you feel it, Mitch? Where'd you feel that? Did that domination, does that make you sore?
It was in the
in the quads.
Not for a couple hours, but definitely.
The cojones.
My mom always said that was really like a common thing. Like, because I had an older sister growing up, and my older sister was always bugging out about when she was hanging out with her friends in threes as opposed to twos. And my mom explained to me, I was like, why is that? I said, what's with that? My mom's like, yeah, girls are more difficult in threes. My mom said,
girls.
My mom actually said, girls have as friends have a much harder time in threes, especially in their adolescent years, she said. And this is my mom's line. I don't know if it's true. I was never a girl, but maybe in a past life. And I was really curious about that. If it's actually true, if girls tended to draw the line harder in some way than guys, or if not, probably not. But
well, no, they do.
My
mom
definitely said so.
I think I've just been reading.
Guys can bro out.
Well, guys can bro out, but actually, I think guys are easier because, like, I've been reading the Mating Mind, this great book on the same sexual selection stuff, like evolution, and basically, men, like, if you look at what men talk about and what women talk about, I guess like men just talk about. Men basically talk as a method of transmitting, showing off.
Mm-hmm.
Like 67% of what they talk about is supposedly like heavy issues.
Like beating their chest.
Totally. And it's totally different in a... Like if you look at groups of men and women, if it's groups of men and women, men talk about politics and science and deep, heavy stuff. If it's just men, they don't. So it's different if there's women there.
Hmm.
And then women are much better at actually listening and seeing what men are saying. And so I think, like maybe that's part of the difference because men are just happy to sound off.
What do men talk about when women aren't around?
I think they still are trying to establish a hierarchy, basically.
Right.
But it's less intense because you're just trying to,
get along or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, we're arguably like very sophisticated, right? We aren't all motivated by this. But if you look at the general trends of like dialogue, like that's how they break it down. There's a sweet the this week's European issue of Time is sweet. It's all about like the science of love and like the chemistry of like, why women like certain types of men's sweat and stuff like that. And, like,
I'm into that.
Yeah,
I don't wear deodorant.
Well, that's good because then women can tell what women can tell whether you have the same immune complex.
There's that theory that divorce rates are actually based on deodorants. That because of deodorant, there's a higher divorce rate.
Wow,
this is like one of those Freakonomics kind of correlations, but they say because we're trying to cover up our personal stink.
So does that mean in France
that no one can really understand their like genetic like drive for each other, and so they only realize later on after they've moved in, lived with, gotten married, had a kid, just what that snake means to them.
Wait, that's brilliant. And you it know is what? Kind there's another half of that, which is from this Time article, which is that they say that the pill screws up the woman's ability to judge her preference. So it's
really?
All yeah, yeah.
How's that?
I don't know, but it changes the hormonal system.
Because it's like she's being flooded with
estrogen. Because her hormones aren't in their normal balance. And so it's but apparently it's all to do with immune complex. Like basically you would want to find a mate who has a very different immune system so that your kid has a healthy
real
mix
strong,
and can beat all the viruses.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, basically women on the pill have their radar screwed up. And they argue that that's part of like all the divorces that so many women choose a mate when they're on birth control.
Yeah.
And then get off it. And suddenly like...
this guy's
if I'm
all
ever
wrong.
A lawyer, I'm gonna be like, smell a divorce? Call 1-800.
Oh man, that's funny.
It's scary.
I still don't quite get though how a woman's hormones could change their capability of sensing something. Because I just didn't know hormones would have any influence on their sensory capabilities.
I think if we're learning anything, it's that everything is coupled.
Yeah, probably.
Because think of like when women get pregnant and their tastes and food change and their smells and you know.
Yeah, so why not? Good point.
You know, I think yeah, a lot of that's coupled.
Well, dude,
I'm worried about it.
When I get home, I'm shoving Fee's nose in my armpit just to make sure.
Don't worry.
Just to make sure. Fee, this is for your own good.
That's why I don't wear deodorant on weekends. You know, at work, maybe I kind of want to, you know, I want to be like, you know, par for the course.
Yeah.
I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to really drive anyone crazy. You know what I mean?
Really? But on the weekends?
But on the weekends, fuck it, dude.
6 foot radius.
I don't even shower. Yeah. Let's go.
Exactly. Get you know? The growth going.
Yeah. Exactly.
You might want to even that out.
Get back to my inner caveman on the weekends.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, it is Monday and you do have a bit of a beard cruising.
Hanging out.
Yeah. It's jewelry for men.
Hey, let's go. How about some more music?
What did we just play though?
Oh, that was Ghostwind.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey now.
Awesome.
Who is that?
That was Blood Red Shoes. They're our tie-in for this show to the last show. Because Blood Red Shoes
is, of course,
for those of you that are playing our weekly sweepstakes, that was our tie-in. No, they're friends with Bat for Lashes, which, by the way, brings up like the concept of, and our American listeners may not be, you know, keeping their eye on this, that Brighton is the next Seattle.
Brighton, England.
Brighton, England.
Yeah, Brighton's cool.
Brighton has got some hot stuff coming out of it.
I want to move there.
I think it has done for a while. I mean, like, it has, you know, it had Norman Cook and all the Big Beat Boutique and all that stuff.
There's a bunch of web developers down there, too.
And designers. Yeah, there is, actually. We have a few friends that are web developers down there because, you know, it's the spot to be if you can just sit in your house all day and enjoy the beach once in a while.
Although the weather's still not brilliant, but...
Yeah, but
you at least you got the water.
There's an ocean.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's some liberal people.
And it's a college town, so you know there's good times.
And it's also touristy. You got to have a little tourist to make it.
Yeah, so you have something to bitch about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's what I love about Santa Cruz, is bitching about the tourists. Yeah, but really, man, I've been seeing a lot of bands coming out of Brighton. And Blood Red Shoes, they're on Dan's Pick of the Week for one of the bands that's going to be coming up on, like, you know, on your headlines soon.
Cool. Nice, yeah. Blood Red Shoes.
Blood Red Shoes. Of course, Bat for Lashes should already be there. Blood Red Shoes is going to be the next.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dan, you're always into the next big thing.
Yeah, but you always seem to actually pick the songs that the listeners respond to most. So I'm trying.
I don't believe that.
So I feel competitive.
I don't think that's true.
That's true. Well, on the last show, two shows ago, people dug the Robert Plant track.
Was good.
But they also dug your track.
Dude, I love that album.
That's brilliant. Oh, I'm going to see the show. They're playing Wembley. Alison Krauss and Robert Plant are playing Wembley in about 2 months' time.
Why didn't you get me a ticket?
Because Fiona's mom bought the tickets, but why don't you get tickets? There's still plenty available.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you should come. It's fun. It's going to be good. There's going to be a lot of like 30, 40-somethings there, just like us.
I'm down.
Yeah. It'll be a blast.
Let's do that.
And, you know, yeah, I'm curious who will be.
Seriously, I listen to that album like
a lot.
Yeah.
I know. It's good. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Which album?
It's called
Raising Sands.
Oh yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, actually, another tie-in. One of our listeners from over in Norway,
Martin.
Martin, thank you.
Sweden.
Sweden. Sorry, God, I always get those northern countries confused. Even though Sweden's not that Nordic,
anyway, they're all cold and
and I don't want to make any more generalizations for fear of digging a deeper hole, but. He says that album's been getting mega airplay up there.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily for us, he also suggested, and we couldn't download it for the show, because he suggested this guy, Christian... Oh, Jesus.
Hjelvender.
KJ is Hjel.
Hjelvender.
Hjelvender.
Thank you.
Very good.
Spence? I never would have known. Way too many consonants for my blood. But... this guy, Christian Hjelvender, used to play in this band called, what was it, like?
The Loose Goats.
Loose Goats, thanks.
Sweet name.
Now, I haven't heard, I tried to download Loose Goats, nothing available for download, but I went to go see this link that he put on our comment section for Christian Hjelvender's YouTube song. It is awesome.
Oh, really?
Awesome. And apparently you can't download off YouTube anymore, like all the hacks are gone and YouTube's...
No, not if you get the real player. Not if you get the new real player.
Wait, but what's real player got to do with YouTube?
Because real player captures streams to the temp download directory within your computer's file structure and extracts the actual video file directly from your computer. Because if it's progressive download, which all flash media players are,
right,
then it downloads to your computer and then doesn't tell you where it is. That's the whole thing.
But how did... Okay, wait.
So what RealPlayer does is it figures out where it got downloaded to and then turns it into a media file within a library.
So I watch it on YouTube, and then I open up my RealPlayer.
No. If you download the new RealPlayer on a PC, then you get this little bar above any Flash player that says download this video.
Oh.
Download this MP3.
Those guys are on it.
it's so crazy.
They're going to be making millions. It basically makes a whole internet.
This is just
how can
it's
they
like
do
grazing
that?
Ground for your digital, like, whatever you want.
How can they do that?
But see, no, but that's what I've always wondered since I downloaded this free utility called Total Recorder to capture audio streams. I mean, you anytime you have something that you can play out to listen to, you can
capture it.
You can basically, legally, it seems like you should be able to.
But with that thing, you have to press record and stop. With this real thing,
it just
figures out
it.
What the file is and just downloads it.
Right, which makes sense.
It should be. Yeah.
So as long as you personally, you know, Mitch McAllister, aren't pressing record and stop, then you are not liable, because you're saying capture this instead of record.
I'm not saying either.
I don't even think then you're
liable.
I'm
saying the internet now is free. Free. If someone's playing a song on the internet, let's play it on our show. Let's do it. You know what I mean?
Like, this is gonna get squashed so fast.
Yeah, it'll be squashed
fast. Sued, their pants will be sued off by Microsoft.
Well, they're definitely making
and everyone.
They're definitely cannibalizing their Rhapsody sort of pay to play business model.
Yeah,
because like, they have. I don't know if you know about Rhapsody, but you pay $10 a month and you can download about 80% of the music that's out there.
Yeah,
but they're going to make it harder to get new content deals.
Yeah,
with this new sort of really disruptive technology, but. Maybe they're not. You know what I mean? Every time a piece of disruptive technology comes along,
people love
it. The industry just gravitates towards it because the consumers love it.
Because the consumers love it, and then everyone tries to, you know, play to that.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you can.
Yeah, it's the YouTube model. Yeah.
Like everyone said that about MySpace, that we were cannibalizing the record industry, and like every band publishes their MySpace URL.
Yeah. But I mean, you look at the great success of the In Rainbows album and the whole free, you know, pay whatever you want model. Which worked well for at least, you know, a great band.
Yeah,
like
but
Radiohead.
Now they're on iTunes.
What's that really mean though? So now you're paying a pound a track?
They're like, that was a neat experiment, but we're a band.
We're gonna charge this now.
Yeah.
But they made tons, didn't they? I thought it was a success in terms of money for them.
It was a success in terms of like capturing revenues from what they were already leaking. Because every band, the last four albums they had done leaked.
Right.
So they were like, well, fuck it. We're gonna leak it and maybe we'll get some money.
Yeah.
Versus like,
yeah,
somebody else is going to leak it.
Totally,
and we're not going to get anything.
Totally pragmatical.
So it was like really, actually, pretty pragmatic.
Strategically,
than like.
But if they're leaking it, how can they now be selling it on iTunes?
Because they're selling it at a higher bit rate.
Because
they sold it. They leaked it at a low bit rate,
which was your complaint.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now you can buy the quality version,
which I kind of want to get. Yeah,
have you bought it? We should do the Pepsi challenge on the show. We should do it with these tracks.
It's a great idea. But what if the show's bit rate?
What if the show's bit rate is
lower than both?
It is.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
So it won't work. Yeah.
Okay. It'll work in our living room.
Coming next week, 800 meg show.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, right? Is if I'm given the choice between a free leak at a low bit rate. Or like buying the album at a high bit rate.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to buy the album at the high bit rate, but I'm not going to buy the MP3 version. I'm going to buy the CD and rip it at 224.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I feel like there is a loss when you do like the standard, whatever the iTunes MPEG-4.
Yeah.
68.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Like,
God, now I have to ask myself the tough question. Am I an audiophile or not? You know, I don't think I am.
No, but
I just want the tracks for the party. What do you mean I might not have the choice?
I'm saying that when you get stuff that's at 165 or whatever it is, 168, I don't know what the low one is. I think it's 165. When you get an MP3 at 165 kbps, you have no option but to be like boombox quality.
Yeah.
You could never play it on a nice system. Even if you found a nice system to play it on.
Well,
so there's no point in buying nice speakers because all your music sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Versus like having it at a good quality and being limited by your speakers. I think that's at least you could someday. I don't know. I mean, the whole idea of having a collection is sort of gone out the window anyway.
Well, so. It hasn't. I mean, you're saying it isn't if you're concerned about actually being able to hear the full spectrum of sound.
But
it is sad that back in the day, the sound recording stuff was based on being much better than our hearing capacity.
Yeah,
like it went higher than 20 kilohertz and it went lower than 20 hertz.
Right. Yeah.
So it and it had full dynamic range. You know,
more than and what's the decibel levels too? It's got to go more than like.
Yeah,
I think that the human ear can't go more than. The human ear actually starts to compress at around 20. No, what is it? 120 decibels?
Might be 120, yeah.
Or,
I mean, that's loud.
Or no. I think it's less than that. I think it's like 60 or something like
so
that.
So no point getting that loud.
But they record to the ability to go up to 120. So like,
yeah.
But it's a human ear, like physically can't compress. Well, right. It starts to compress it anyways. So.
But I think CDs were a pretty amazing thing to happen, that you actually had something that was beyond the capability of... Our, I think it's actually an anomaly that it went beyond instead of being driven by market pressure, which is what it is now, where it's like everyone uses crappy headphones on buses.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need audiophile quality.
Hell, dude, I just use my mobile phone through my pocket.
How much do you hate that? How much do you hate that when that guy comes on the bus? When that guy comes on the bus and he's got his phone and it's going as loud as it can. He's like rocking out.
I hate that too.
And like, oh,
I hate that too.
That is so loud. And everyone's looking at him like, you jerk. And he's like, yeah, no, I'm a dick.
I hate it.
I hate it too. Blaring out of my
I hate
phone.
It too. But dude, there was a guy doing that same thing.
I just like the idea of the pocket filter. He's like, we designed this. It'll play through your jeans. It'll play
your
from
corduroy. I don't care what. Bell bottoms don't matter.
Money's 20 dB loss.
No. I was on the bus the other day and there was a kid totally like hood way over his head, you know, like ghetto looking dude that would shiv me in a second or so one would think. But he was doing that. He was blasting some British rapper through his hoodie, like out the mobile phone. And everyone could hear it. You couldn't hold a conversation without hearing it.
You wanted to kick his ass, didn't you?
Well, I did at first. And I was like, that's just so rude. And then I started listening and I thought, wait, that's really good sound quality. And I wanted to like pull up his hood and say, yo, dude, what's playing that? Because that sounds really good considering. And I was blown away with that, the actual fidelity of his mobile phone.
He actually had a boombox under the hoodie.
Yeah, or something. No, it was a mobile unit. And I was just like, man, you know, it's not so bad when it doesn't sound like it's coming out of a tin can. It's actually all right. Shocking. Yeah. Anywho, where were we?
Man,
spin the black circle. Spence, you got another tune, right?
What's I do
this?
Yeah.
Wobble you
pedal. Yeah, this
check
is,
it out,
this is a classic.
Speaking of low fidelity,
once a polytito,
oh.
Our young world was fresh in universe.
This
England a beauty garden.
This is from
young lads set out in the early Maldi to find it deep wisdom and true love in flower petals arrayed. She loves me. She not so loved. She loves me. She not so loved. To be an England lad, all summery joy. Deep love, no question there, lad. Got the wobble. This is Stanley Unwin Shiny Hoffer with Wobble You All Joyful. Goodbye, load.
Right.
Yeah. It is. At the same time, very complicated and very simple.
Gosh. It reminds me of Greg Louganis back in the 1989 Olympics. No, there weren't any Olympics in 89. But, you know, it's so complicated. It's so simple.
I wish the Olympics would every once in a while just throw in an odd year.
Yeah.
Remember the 07 Nagano?
Remember when we thought there weren't going to be any? And then the Olympics said, psych, here they come.
Remember the Olympics in 1963 at McDonald's? The paper mache football.
Yeah, so that track took you back. Blast that was from the past,
that,
huh, dude?
That was Wobble You. Yeah, that was
an odd year, wasn't it?
That was, no, 96.
Okay.
Yeah, that was when I was in England raving it up as a young 20.
Did you have the
21 year old?
Did you have the glow sticks and the big foamy hands?
No, but I had a ponytail.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you have a snowboarder cap?
No, I wasn't a full on. Shoegazing train spotter.
Did you have massive?
But I was.
Did you have massive trousers?
I didn't. I wasn't a baggy trouser one.
Oh, you none of the shoe sweepers.
But I used to get fully shirted up with my mates, and we would get down, you know, get down the club, that have a nice time, meet some.
Have it
large like Queensland. Yeah.
Jesus, you really absorbed the culture in that 1 week. Was it 1 week?
It was two summers.
Like 2 summers.
6 months.
Came back for more.
Summer 96, summer 97. London was kicking off then, man.
Yeah, the drugs were cheap.
The, you know, Prodigy had just come out. Trainspotting had just come out.
I was here in 99, having it large.
Yeah.
Have some.
Same thing. Same thing. Have some. Anyways.
I was... eating cookies and milk with mother back in Portola Valley. Yes, it was nice. We gardened.
How long were you living after school?
1 year. No, not 1 year. 6 months-ish, about. And then I had the worst job of my life. And then I earned enough money to move out. And
what was
a
that?
Job. I was putting together motors and transmissions out of a... catalog for a large satellite dish company that was employed by the government.
Whoa.
I was in a cubicle. There was bad coffee and everyone was 45 years old with a mortgage
with the carnation stuff, the instant creamer.
Yep. And I'd fall asleep at my desk at 2 o'clock every day and want to die. It was, we had Hawaiian Shirt Friday. I think I mentioned this. Hawaiian Shirt Friday was the only let loose moment that the company had on Hawaii on Fridays. If you wanted, you can wear a Hawaiian shirt.
Did you fall asleep every day at two because you were malnourished or uninspired?
Completely and totally uninspired.
You were eating right? Were you eating apples?
I was eating fine and a lot of instant coffee, but it was just the worst.
That sounds rough.
Anyway, life got better after that.
I had a bad job. I was a flower delivery guy.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, you'd think that would be actually have an upside to it, unless it's funerals.
Well, it was very cool taking flowers to middle-aged housewives.
I could imagine.
But Randy.
Sometimes those flowers weren't from
Daddy. Oh, really?
You had to be careful.
Yeah. Really? And you would get the impression, would you?
I don't know. Yeah. And sometimes they would kind of flirt with me, too, because, you know, I was like
the messenger.
Cute little college kid with flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's intriguing.
But I wrecked the van.
No way. Yeah. No. You were. What? How do you wreck the flower van?
Keep talking.
Well, I was going down this driveway, and it was narrower than the van.
Yeah.
How
fast were you going?
Fast enough to rip the rear view mirror off the right side and totally bash in part of the windshield and the door.
Holy crap.
Were you looking straight ahead at the time? I mean, did you just kind of like...
Subtext, were you high?
The funny thing was, is I was like in the wrong place at the wrong time too, because I was supposed to go to office hours with this class, with my professor for a class that I was failing.
Yeah.
Or not failing. But
were you
not,
at Berkeley?
Berkeley. Not doing well in. And so I was like parking the van at some fraternity so that I could just run over to office hours for half an hour, you know, while I was supposed to be delivering flowers. Yeah. So it was just...
And it was like, wrecked at that moment.
So they were like, why were you there when the accident happened?
Yeah, they were like, we've got insurance. And I was like, okay, that's good. I quit. Thank you very much.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. And that's it. You escape scot-free. I mean...
Well, yeah, I mean...
What are they going to do?
That's what they... I mean, their job is to, like, deliver flowers and to have insurance. And
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So
I've never wrecked a car. I feel like I've got, like... I haven't quite lived yet. I've never rolled one. I've never destroyed one. I've gotten in a couple minor accidents.
You know, you don't really need to do that.
Do you not?
No, I wouldn't. We used to do it in Arizona when I grew up. We used to do
well, that if you include the flower van door thing one. I've actually totaled a car before.
Yeah, that counts.
Yeah.
We did one in Arizona. My friend had a Dodge Colt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Supposed to be four cylinders, but one of the cylinders didn't work. And so we used to take it in the little alleyways in Phoenix that were gravel because you could really kind of lose control.
Yeah.
And so I was with Aaron, and he would kind of lose control and then get control and lose control. Yeah. And then one time we'd lost control.
Wow.
And went into this wooden fence in the back of someone's garden. And all I remember was this fence. We were going sideways when we hit it. And I remember a chunk of fence, the width of the garage Colt go, ew. And then seeing someone's dirty underwear on this clothesline in the backyard of their Phoenix house. And then we drove off.
And then you split.
And then we drove off.
Yeah. Didn't leave a note?
No, didn't leave a note.
Good doctor didn't leave a note?
No.
Oh, there goes your presidential candidacy.
I had a ponytail, remember?
Yeah, oh, right. And your glow sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
What were we talking about earlier during one of the songs?
Fraggle Rock?
The neuropsychology of music? Oh, that SolidWorks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. So Dan, you're a fan of SolidWorks.
A dream in SolidWorks.
So one day, pretty soon, you'll be able to design a 3D thing on your computer and then hit print.
Yeah, I know. I can't
wait. That's a new thing.
And the object itself will come out of your inkjet printer.
Well, I've been doing that for a long time, but you got to pay through the nose for it.
It's called prototyping, right?
Well, yeah, rapid prototyping. There's like a million different ways. And there's a new one with Z-Core that uses starch, which is really great. And it's cheap. Like, you can get parts printed, like little parts like the size of your laptop for like, you know, 200 pounds or 150 pounds. That's still a lot of money. And if you own one of those printers, it costs a frickin' fortune. To like, the consumables actually cost a lot, and there's a lot of maintenance and stuff. But there's other ways that are more detailed, and you can use all sorts of different materials, and like you can get them clear, like water clear parts, or like parts that have the same properties as nylon and like flexible things. But
see, now the prof I worked with at Berkeley before I came here, Bob Full, was all about that, and he went to some Samsung big, you know, meeting of the minds about what the next future of technology was, and he said it was 3D printers, because it is conceivable, and I don't see this happening for a long time, but it is conceivable that you could lay down conductive polymers, and so you could actually say things like print cell phone.
Yeah. Well, they already have conductive things.
You could get it to print things with circuits in it.
Yeah, they already have conductive
things. Print iPhone.
Yeah, print iPhone. I mean,
hey.
I mean, given that thing has 90 nanometer, you know, transistors in it, that's not going to happen for a long time. But, you know, simple stuff like kettle and stuff, maybe.
Yeah, but then the brilliant...
Print your cat.
Well, that's what you're talking about.
See, now this is what gives...
Baby.
This is what gives biotech a bad name.
Yeah.
We will not be able to do that for a long time. The nano dolphins and the nanofog are not coming to get you.
You guys are already printing cats left and right. You're just playing with puppies and cats all day, aren't you? You know, you're just... Don't lie. You can tell the people. We only have like 50 listeners.
It's true. People do. I don't. I work on insects mostly.
Yeah, so you...
Because things with red blood are a little bit tough. But, you know, the vets... The vets are one thing. Like, they don't have a problem with mammalian flesh. Like, one guy in our lab works on elephants, and he's like, no problem. Like, you go in, and there'll be a elephant leg. Full-blown
elephant on the table.
No, there'll be a dead elephant's leg in a press.
Whoa.
So, you know, you want to figure out how much an elephant's leg...
He's trying to, like, squeeze out the elephant oil?
No, you want to figure out how much an elephant's leg can withstand. It's actually, scientifically, a really interesting question. It's like, how do the bones in these animals scale? Because they're the biggest animals in the world. And they say a lot about dinosaurs. So why do elephants shuffle? Like, elephants are weird because they don't run. They walk funny.
Yeah.
And so is it because they're so big? And what does it say about how fast dinosaurs could go? So it's really interesting, but it does also mean that you go into the lab and there's like mammalian flesh everywhere. And
Jesus.
It's a dismembered elephant leg in a press, you know?
I mean, and occasionally I'm sure like one colleague sneaks behind the other and just smacks him across the back of the head with a giant elephant leg.
If they could lift it probably would. Well, that's the thing about vets though. I mean, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. They're really, you know, they're viscerally accustomed to blood and guts.
Yeah.
And they in a way that I think doctors are probably, you know, they go in to fix stuff. They know it has veins. They know it has muscle. And you need to get in there and fix it. So, you know.
And you're accustomed to bug guts.
Yeah.
So when you drive across the country through Nebraska, after you've gone through the cornfields, you're scraping the window off and putting it in a little peachy dish.
I shed a small tear.
Yeah. Yeah, but Mitch pointed out quite in a brilliant pop culture moment that the Fraggle Rocks actually introduced the concept of rapid prototyping.
Yeah. So we should wrap that up. We were saying, basically you can, there's just fancy $50,000 versions where you hit print from your computer and your 3D object comes out. But maybe in Make Magazine, I can't remember where I saw it, but there's a person who has hacked an inkjet printer that you fill it full of sugar and a little bit of water and it'll print objects.
That's brilliant. Or you just hire a few of Jim like Henson's Fraggle Rocks.
The Doozleys. What are they called? The Dursleys?
The Dozers.
The Dozers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mitch pointed out that it's been done. I mean, that's what
And
they
Wembley
did.
Used to just chomp on that shit.
Absolutely insane. You know, proof, like the world needs any more proof that Jim Henson was well ahead of his time.
Oh, yeah.
And quite possibly God on Earth, Jesus. I'm not going to say anymore. I'll let everyone else connect the dots on that one. But... But
you
think
Jim Henson was Jeebus?
I think Jim Henson was more than a man. More than a man. And we should probably have a Jim Henson day.
I think what is really still quite... I'm still very sad about his loss. Mm. But I'm pretty sure he had AIDS.
Really? No, he had like pneumonia.
Interesting.
But
that's actually a standard thing, isn't it? But he was a family man.
Oh, damn. Do you still believe in Santa Claus?
No, wait. Why would they cover that up, man?
Because.
If there was a story to tell, someone would have told it.
Because he was the leading guy in, like, children's programming.
What are you saying?
Or that Bert and Ernie couldn't be gay.
Oh. Oh.
Couldn't possibly be gay.
That's it. Press stop on this show. I need to punch you now. No, we can't be making these correlations.
I'm not. What?
What? I'm just saying.
No. I'm just saying.
Oh, bitch.
I'm just saying. Maybe he had AIDS, you know?
And whatever. Yeah. Well, okay. Fine.
Well, is it all a big cover up that he got
he
got this quote unquote rare viral disease, you know?
And it's neither here nor there.
No, but the fact that it never, the fact that it was like buried.
But he's not a Kennedy. He's not like a Princess Di. There's not going to be a cover up operation that can't be uncovered.
I think
it was very early days.
I think that if he got
it wasn't that early. I was in eighth grade. It was 90. I was in eighth grade.
Yeah, so 83.
That was pretty early,
right?
Yeah. I'm saying it was right around Rock Hudson.
Yeah,
like.
Okay. Early 80s. Hirachi. You're right. The timing makes sense.
Early 80s was still very,
yeah,
hush hush.
And that if he, I'm not saying that he was, but if he was gay and had contracted AIDS from sleeping with a man, that's there's a lot of people in the world that would have completely rejected Sesame Street, you know, in its entirety because of that.
Well, I guess you could say the Family Fortune possibly wrote on it. I don't know if there's much of it. I'm sure there's a Henson Family Fortune. No one talks about it, but it's not like a Hilton family, but it must be something.
But that stuff happened all the time back then.
Really?
Yeah, people were burying their...
Well, yeah, it did, but... Wow. Mitch, there's a thesis in there. It's some sort of like weird gumshoe thesis, but yeah.
Gumshoe. It's based on... I mean, there's no...
It's a media thesis.
Yeah, exactly. E-entertainment thesis.
Would you say master's project?
Okay, one last song, and then we got to go.
All right.
Angela Poe from Eeny Meeny Records sent us a submission. No, Angelina, that wasn't. She did, but I couldn't download it.
Oh.
Pizzeria. I know. So instead, I'm going to talk about Karina Page and Misty Stafford, talking about an acclaimed Australian singer-songwriter.
Sandrine.
Is that how they pronounce it in Australia?
Yeah. Exactly.
No, in Australia, they say... Oh, hey, gun. I got a new single by Sandrina.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Hope you like it.
Where do we go from here? And where can we hide? Because I made a U-turn. And I'm still alive. For this life, where is this better place? Where are these better times? 'Cause we've both been looking, and we can't find.